Good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we were blessed to be able to meet once again virtually. I know that's not necessarily ideal, but I am grateful that in the midst of all of this, we have the ability to live stream. And we've had just heard some great stories from that and from what God's doing through that and folks inviting others and joining together and watching together as families. And so we're grateful to hear what God is doing in the midst of all of this. But on Sunday, we talked about this episode where Jesus curses the fig tree, and then he goes into the temple and he clears out the temple of the money changers and then teaches his disciples the lesson about the fig tree. And on Sunday, I talked briefly. I had about 7 to 10 minutes there just to talk about this episode inside of the temple. And it's something that I actually taught on at our Delaware campus a few months ago. And it's a really poignant moment because Jesus goes into the temple and he drives people out. He flips over the tables of the money changers. People are exchanging money. You had to have a certain type of currency to pay the temple tax. You had to have a certain type of animal in order to sacrifice at the temple. It was all part of the religious festival, the festival of Passover. And when Jesus comes into the temple and he sees really the way in which the religious leaders and the way in which Israel have just accepted and even encouraged this sort of merchandising, this sort of nonchalant attitude toward the Lord happening inside of the temple. There are many things about that that upsets Jesus and his passion and his zeal for the Lord, for his Father's house, consumes him, is what the scriptures say. But there's one element that I sort of honed in on, and that is that all of this is happening, all of the money exchanging, all of the selling of animals and the noises and the smells along with that. It was all happening in the court of the Gentiles. And so I mentioned on Sunday, there are different sections of the temple, different courts, and the outermost court was called the court of the Gentiles. And that's the only place that a non-Jew, an outsider, right, a Jewish, a God-fearing Gentile could come to worship the Lord. They weren't allowed past that point. They couldn't go into the what was called the court of the women. They couldn't go into the court of the Israelites. And so there was a court that the Jewish women could go to, a court that Jewish men could then go into, and then there was the inner sort of sanctum, the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest one time a year was able to go there. The only place the Gentiles could go to worship the Lord and to pray during the festival of Passover was the court of the Gentiles. And that's where all this money exchanging is happening. That's where all the animals are being sold. And so I think that reality, that scene reflects something about Israel's heart and the religious leaders, their heart. And that is that they have become very cold toward the outsider. They have ceased to care, right? The insiders, as I said this way on Sunday, the insiders had ceased to care about the outsiders. And I think that's just so important for us to hear as a church. It's a warning to us in a lot of ways. You know, Israel, from the very beginning, God told Abraham, "I am blessing you to be a blessing to all nations." Israel was not to see their chosen status as a reason for pride, right? A reason for looking around and saying, "Ha, you know, we're the chosen people. God doesn't care about you." It was always that, man, we were chosen by the grace of the Lord, and we are to reflect him to those around us. And God, all throughout the Old Testament, always made provision for the foreigner, for the outsider who wanted to be a part of the covenant community, for the God-fearing outsider, always made provision of that. There's Jesus quotes, right, the Old Testament prophecy that says, "This, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations," not just for Israel, for all nations. God had always said that and stated that about his temple. And so the fact that the Israelites are not, they're not being a bridge for the outsider, they're not welcoming the outsider and saying, "Man, we want you to come to know the Lord and worship him." They're not passionate for the glory of God in all nations, right? They really are just passionate about their own position. They've become, again, prideful, in a lot of ways entitled, and they've ceased to care. I use the illustration, you know, it'd be like on a Sunday morning if somebody, I mentioned this on Sunday, if somebody came in on a Sunday morning to one of our regular gatherings, and Lord willing, that'll be soon again, that we get to gather again in person. But if an outsider, right, somebody who's not a Christian came in and they walked in the doors and we said, "Hey, you know, are you a believer?" They said, "No." And instead of saying, "Man, we're so glad you're here. Let me help you find a seat. Do you need anything?" If we said, "Oh, wow, Well, you got to be a Christian to be allowed to come into the auditorium. So I guess, you know, you could sit over there. You could stay here in the lobby if you want and wait till we're done. I mean, can you imagine? Imagine all that would communicate to a non-Christian. I mean, they would come to a gathering and say, man, they don't want me here, right? I'm not wanted. I don't matter, apparently. And that's what Israel's expressing to the Gentiles. And that's, I think, part of the reason Jesus is so furious is there's just this complete lack of love, not first and foremost for the Lord, lack of zeal for his glory. But then that's resulted in a coldness of heart toward the outsiders. And so I encouraged us on Sunday. I want to encourage us again this morning as we're in the midst of this very, very unique time. I'm praying actively for the Lord to draw our families closer together, that, you know, as you're home, whether you're single or with your family, that your heart, you're just turning back to the Lord during this time. You're taking advantage of the opportunity where we kind of have to slow down to turn back to the Lord. But I hope that as a part of that, of us saying, Lord, we want to gather together as individuals and as families and turn our hearts back to you, that we will think about and pray for those who are dealing with this without Christ. I mean, some of us are scared and maybe a little bit fearful about the future. And yet, I mean, we have Christ and we need not be fearful. We need not be afraid. We can trust him. But there are many who are dealing with this crisis without the hope of glory, without the peace of Christ in their hearts. And I think that should stir us to say, Lord, and there are many around us, our neighbors, who don't know and love you, and they are having to face the reality of mortality and the fearfulness of the future without the grace and the mercy and the love and the security of knowing where they stand with their Heavenly Father, or maybe not knowing their Heavenly Father at all. And so I want to encourage you this morning, as I encouraged you on Sunday, just to pray, take time this week, today, right now, to pray for that one person, your one person in your life that doesn't know and love Jesus yet. And I want to encourage us. I'm going to pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to take time to pray for them today. Just say, Lord, give me an opportunity, right? Maybe it's over FaceTime, right? Maybe it's via text. Maybe it's sometime in the future, but give me an opportunity to share the gospel with them, and will you turn their hearts toward you during this time? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, in the midst of all this craziness, we trust you. We know that you're good. And Father, we know that you're in control. And we don't always know the reasons for why you do what you do. But Father, we are able to say along with David in the Psalms that you are our rock and our refuge. You are our strength. We take shelter in the shadow of your wings. That Lord, you are our hiding place. You are where we can run to, Father. You are the one we can always run to in the midst of uncertainty. And Father, that's just as true now as it's always been. Lord, that's always true. Help us when times return to normal, God, that we will not grow lax in our faith, that we will not say, okay, now I can feel comfortable again because routines are back to normal. But rather, Lord, we'll say, no, it's true then and it's true now that God, you are our refuge. And Father, I pray for those right now who don't know you and love you, that God, you would use us, the church, your people, to shine the light and life of Christ to them. And I ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Take some time to pray for yourself and to pray for that person in your life that doesn't yet know and love Christ. Thanks so much for joining us for the LifePoint Drivecast. God bless you. Have a great rest of the day, and we hope you'll tune in with us again tomorrow morning.